God, we thank you that you receive us into your house, not just as guests, but as your own children. And we thank you for loving us unconditionally. Amen. So, one of the challenges about the Bible is that it seems to contradict itself. I'll give you an example. In our Bible study on Thursday mornings, we've been reading Deuteronomy. That is the favorite book of surfers. Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy, which means the second law, deutero, nomi, says, for example, in chapter 5, verse 33, which we just read in Bible study, it says this: you must follow exactly the path that the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live, and that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land that you are to possess. It's pretty straightforward. If you follow the commandments of God, you will live, you will live abundantly, and you will live for a long time. Specifically, Deuteronomy then goes on to say, you must utterly destroy your enemies. Take the land, and then you will live a long and prosperous life. These are the three things over and over in Deuteronomy instructs God's people to do. Take land, destroy your enemies, don't leave anyone alive, take their land, and you will live a long and prosperous life. It says it, not just in Deuteronomy. So we have that on the one hand, and then on the other hand, we have Jesus. Jesus said, if you want to live forever, not just a long time, but if you want to live forever, what should you do to your enemies? Love them. What should you do if somebody steals from you? Forgive, and what else? Give them more. Give them more. If someone steals from you, Jesus said, give them more. Give them more than what they stole from you. And in the time of Jesus, what was the cross used for? Before Christians claimed it as ours, what was the cross? It was crucifixion. It was capital punishment. And Jesus said, should you be faced with this, what should you do with the cross? Run away? Avoid it? Did he say, take your cross, set it down, and walk away, skippity free? Pick it up, carry your cross, and follow me. So you have a direct contradiction between Deuteronomy and Jesus. Deuteronomy says, destroy your enemies completely. Don't leave anyone alive. Jesus says, love them. Deuteronomy says, take the land for yourself. Jesus says, give away what you have. Deuteronomy says, you will live a long and prosperous life in the land. Jesus says, take up your cross and follow me. So how do we reconcile this tension? One thing that we have done as Christians is we have at times said, well, that was the Old Testament, this is the New Testament. The problem with that approach is we are not then really holding all of the Bible as sacred scripture. We're privileging one over the other. And you can find things in the New Testament that are just as challenging. So if it's all sacred scripture, how do we make sense of this contradiction? Well, we do have an example that we've been learning about in Sunday school. We have been reading the book by Viktor Frankl called Man's Search for Meaning. And Viktor Frankl said that there are three ways that you can survive an impossible situation. He was in a concentration camp and he survived. He said the main thing you have to do is forget about being happy. You're never going to be happy. And this, he meant this not just if you're in a camp, but for all people. He later moved to America after the war and lived here and was thankful for his freedom. But he did say, you know, the problem with America, if we have a problem, is that we think that life is about being happy. And he said, that's just, it's ridiculous. That shouldn't be our goal. Frankl says, we must have purpose. We must have meaning to our life. If we can find meaning in our life, we can overcome hardship and we can endure suffering. This is how you survive and live, according to Viktor Frankl. And he is Jewish, of course, by the way. And he says there's three ways that you can have purpose in your life. The first is to have a goal, to have some sort of a goal that you are trying to achieve. And by focusing on that goal, you can endure much hardship. For example, if in his situation, he had the goal of surviving and surviving till the end of the war. But there can be all kinds of goals that keep us going. The second way that you can have meaning in your life, according to Viktor Frankl, is to love somebody. To love somebody. If you love someone and you exist, the purpose of your life is to care for them, you will also endure hardship. And the third way to have meaning in your life, according to Viktor Frankl, and this one's the real kicker, is suffering itself. Not that anyone should ever go seek suffering. Please don't do that. But when you have no choice and suffering comes upon you, to suffer with dignity can be meaningful and the purpose of our life. So now we have this seeming contradiction in the Bible, plus we've got this idea of Viktor Frankl's to help us bridge them. Let me frame it to you this way. Deuteronomy says to destroy your enemy, and Jesus says to love them. What if we do both? What if the only way to truly destroy an enemy is to love them? Because if we love an enemy so much that we overcome them with love, then they're no longer our enemy. And we have destroyed our enemy. We have vanquished our enemy forever. Only by making them our friend. By loving them. The second contradiction. Oh, and by the way, Viktor Frankl, you know, he did that. The second contradiction. Do you give to thieves? Or do you take your land and defend it? That contradiction. Well, Deuteronomy goes on to say to everyone, you're going to get this land, but if you don't take care of it, you're going to lose it. So essentially, what Deuteronomy really says is, you can never possess land, any of us. None of us can ever really truly own land. The land always belongs to God. Our time is temporary, and what we can really do with the land that we might be in charge of, starts with an S, very important church word, has to do with the offering, stewardship. Stewardship. Stewardship simply means taking care of what God has put in your sphere of influence. Might be ownership, might be renting, might be leasing, might be in a prison. Viktor Frankl found his meaning when he was in the camps by being a steward, by taking care of the people, he was a doctor, that were in his sphere of influence. So when Deuteronomy says, possess the land, and Jesus says, give everything away, we can do both by stewardship, by recognizing that we never really own anything, but all we can do is care for things and share them through hospitality. The third contradiction. Deuteronomy says you will live a long and happy and prosperous life. Jesus says, take up your cross, follow me, and you will live eternally. We were talking about Bible study, the difference between, it was Shannon that said this, quality versus quantity. So often when we think about eternal life, I think we think about quantity. When we talk about eternal life, we say, oh, I'm going to live forever in heaven. Well, that's fine. But what about quality of life right now? Viktor Frankl saw that in the camps, if someone lost their purpose, they essentially died within a minute of days. And he tells us, person after person, when the light would just go out in their eyes, they had no reason to exist, and they would be gone quickly. The way that you survived was by having a purpose, and that would give you a quality of life. Eternal life that we get from Jesus isn't just after we die. It's not quantity afterwards. It's quality now. By not forsaking the cross, by not forsaking suffering, we can have quality of life, a peace that passes all understanding. In conclusion, we see from our reading from Acts an example of this. Lydia was a woman who was in charge of a newly forming Christian church. And it's interesting, Paul had a vision. And in his vision, the night before, well, it was a dream at night, it says in our reading this morning, he dreams of a man calling him, saying, come to Macedonia, which is kind of Assyria, or Syria today, Syria and Iraq. Come to Macedonia. We need you. We need to hear the gospel. So he has the dream. We read, and he goes in search, presumably, for this man. But he doesn't find a man. He finds a woman, Lydia. And we know from Paul's writings in 2 Corinthians, Paul really struggled. He really struggled with a bias. He was a bit biased against women. He didn't see equality. But we have proof that the early church, women were right there, beginning with Mary Magdalene. And then as the church spread, you see women leaders all along the way. And Paul struggled with this. And he gets to Macedonia, Joppa, and he meets Lydia. And Lydia's rich. She's a dealer of purple cloth from which our wonderful long-arm sewing machine and our quilters have named it, Lydia, this leader in the early Christian church. She was a rich woman, a businesswoman, a dealer of purple cloth, the most royalty, the cloth reserved for royalty. She sold to empires and kingdoms. And she's the one that's forming this new Christian church. And I can imagine Paul getting there and just, you know, in his mind he was expecting a man, and here's Lydia, and she wants to be baptized, and he does it. Of course, he is compelled to. And then she says, why don't you come over and I'll host you? And I can sense Paul's reluctance. And what does the text say? It says she prevailed upon him. Lydia says, if I have faith in Jesus, I have to host you. And she wins. And Paul changes. Paul changes his mind and he goes. An enemy is converted into a friend. The land is stewarded. And we live forever. Amen. Please rise as you're able for the hymn of the